Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is happening to me could happen to you too. Friel, we're not interested. Welcome to a Wretched at the University of Georgia, Athens. I found myself a fishing hole. This is the place where I tend to feel most comfortable, walking backwards mostly, not tripping over young college students, and then sitting down next to a guy like this. Hello, young man.
Today,
do you have
sir?
A second to talk to me?
Yes, sir.
Sweet. What's your name?
My name is Demarie Hawkins.
You know what? Where are you from, Demarie?
Marietta, Georgia. Born in Oakland, California, but I was raised in Marietta, Georgia.
Yeah. So you're a Southern boy.
Yes, sir.
You are a Bible belter.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Did you grow up in the church?
I did, a Baptist. Yes, sir.
You grew up in a Baptist. Are you still going to a Baptist church?
Whenever I go home and visit my mom, I do. Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you go to a Baptist church on campus?
I do not go to a Baptist church on campus.
How come?
I guess I just haven't taken the initiative to go out, and for the 4 years I've been here, I haven't taken the initiative to go out and look for a church that's fitting for myself.
Okay.
So,
right. Demaria, I'd like to ask you to do me a favor.
Okay.
Now, this will be a little unusual.
Okay.
Because in an environment like this, typically imposing values on people is kind of forbidden.
Okay.
I'm asking you
okay.
to persuade me to become a Baptist like you.
Okay.
Would you do that for me?
I can try to do that for you.
All right.
All right. So, if I were to persuade you to go to a Baptist church or to be under the Baptist faith, first I would tell you that it's something that you need to want to do intrinsically. Also, I found that it's helped me in my life. It kind of keeps me grounded. There's a lot of different externalities in life that can kind of stray you from the path that you want to be on. And I found that the Baptist faith actually kind of keeps me grounded in that faith. I always have something to go to when I'm feeling a little bit off or feel like I'm straying down the wrong path. The Baptist faith kind of keeps me grounded.
All right. I'm going to tell you what I believe.
Okay.
I believe that Mark Richt, the former coach of the Bulldogs, that if I say his name 3 times before I die,
right.
I'm going to spend eternity in that stadium as the quarterback, and every pass I throw will be a touchdown.
Okay.
Would you say that my religious worldview is wrong?
I would say your religious worldview is wrong because that's not always the case. I'm pretty sure there have been quarterbacks who've come through this football program who said Mark Richt's name more than 3 times in their life.
Probably maybe even a bad way.
Right.
But the point is,
right.
So you would say I'm just wrong.
Just wrong, yeah. And there's also more to it than just saying your coach's name. Translating over to the faith, I think it's more than just saying Jesus' name and reading the Bible and just going to church. You know, there's more out there. You have to, like I said, have an intrinsic motivation to try and actually follow the faith after you.
Okay. Would you be willing to say, as a Baptist, that a Buddhist is wrong?
No, not at all.
As a Baptist, would you be willing to say that a Muslim is wrong?
No, not at all. No, you can't. I don't believe in telling people that what they grew up on, the values that were instilled in them. I don't think certain cases, but generally, I don't think you can say that that's wrong, because that's like saying if your grandma cooks her favorite pie the right way and you like it, and then you eat someone else's pie, that person can't tell your grandma she made her pie the wrong way, you know?
Yeah, I think that illustration is a preference issue.
Okay.
For instance, I prefer a book carrying bag with one strap, not a backpack like
right,
you.
Right, right.
Just a preference.
Okay.
But a religious worldview
right.
is a truth statement.
Okay.
You're a Baptist,
right.
and you mentioned the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
So you would proclaim he is the way, the truth, the life.
Right, right. Yes, sir.
That is either true
right.
or that is false.
Right.
If you are stating the truth with okay. that with that proclamation,
okay.
wouldn't that automatically mean then that the Muslim and the Buddhist is wrong?
In a way, I would say that based off what you just said, that they would be wrong, because being that I'm a Baptist, I'm supposed to believe that Jesus is right, you know? But also, you have to think that they may not have been exposed to...
That's true.
...that we've been exposed to, you know?
Have you ever heard the elephant analogy?
I have not.
The story goes that there are some blind men, and they're standing around an elephant.
Okay.
And one of them feels a leg.
Okay.
It's big and square and solid and strong. Okay. Another one has the tail.
Okay.
Another one has the tusk.
Okay.
Another one feels the ear. Another one feels the belly.
Okay.
The conclusion to that is nobody can know all truth, only parts of it, so they understand the elephant as best they can.
And right, exactly.
Do you think that analogy works with your Christian faith?
I do believe it works with a Christian faith. I believe that what I can feel and what I, from the elephant, I believe that that's what the elephant is to me, you know? But, you know, there's the elephant has four legs, you know, there's different legs that, say, the Muslims can feel, and that's what Jesus is, not Jesus, but that's what their deity is to them. So I think it's based off more so what values were instilled in you, what you take the time to go out and try to believe, and then I guess just what works for you best, you know? And
let me respond to that with two approaches, and then you tell me what you think.
Okay.
One will be a logical, the other will be a theological response.
Okay. Okay.
Logically, I would suggest to you the elephant analogy breaks down because there's somebody who apparently knows that it's an elephant.
Okay.
The premise of the analogy is that we do have knowledge of elephants.
Okay.
And if there is somebody who's just squeezing a leg and somebody's squeezing a trunk, they just understand a part of the elephant, but they can't know the whole.
Right.
So knowing the elephant is either possible or it is not.
Okay.
That's logical, but theological.
Okay.
Help me out, Demarie. You said Jesus is the way, the truth, the life.
Right.
Nobody comes to the Father but through me.
Right.
I'll paraphrase it to work with our analogy.
Okay.
Nobody comes to me through that leg or that trunk or that ear or that tail.
Okay.
You've got to know me and me only if you want to inherit eternal life.
Right.
Wouldn't that undermine the elephant analogy?
It does undermine the elephant analogy because, like you said, you have to know the elephant as Jesus, and you can't come to Jesus any other way but knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, now I want to reverse roles for a moment.
Okay.
I asked you to give me a reason to become a Baptist, and you said it would make me grounded.
Right.
And I wouldn't argue with you.
Right.
I'm going to try to convert you to my faith.
Okay.
Ready?
Right.
Now I'm going to ask you some questions that have nothing to do with your intellect.
Okay.
We've been having a pretty intellectual conversation.
Okay.
I want to go to your conscience for just a moment.
Okay. Right?
How many lies do you think you've told?
I would not be able to put a number on it. I don't try to lie. No one tries to lie, but I wouldn't be able to give you an...
Oh, I have.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to give you an honest answer on how many lies I've told.
So if you knew that I told a lot of lies, what name would you give to me that rhymes with fire?
Liar.
Have you ever stolen anything, regardless of value?
Regardless of value. From my siblings, yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, stuff,
yes. So,
or maybe coins from your parents' dresser.
Yes.
Okay. So what would that make you if you've stolen something?
A stealer.
Only if you're from Pittsburgh. Otherwise, you'd be a thief.
A thief, okay.
All right, right. so you, I'm now sitting next to a liar and a thief. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Your thought life. You can plead the fifth on this because none of my business. But I'm just guessing you're pretty typical male.
Okay.
And we males tend to have thoughts that we probably shouldn't have that would embarrass us if grandma knew about them.
Okay, yes,
all right?
Sir.
So I'm just going to trust that if I asked you yes or no, you would probably say, yeah, you've had sexual thoughts that...
Yes.
You shouldn't have had.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Have you ever murdered anybody?
I have never murdered anyone.
Excellent.
Yes.
Have you ever been angry at somebody?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jesus said that if you call your brother a fool, get mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
You're in danger of the judgment.
Okay.
And then John, who wrote an epistle, said when we're angry at somebody, it's like murder in our heart. It's not killing somebody, but it's the same attitude. And Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Right, but not physically.
That's right, but not physically. But we've all had those thoughts,
yes,
so we're all adulterers at heart.
Yes, sir.
So we're liars, we're thieves, we're adulterers.
Right.
We take God's name in vain or use it lowly. We're blasphemers. We don't honor our parents like we're supposed to.
Right.
So you're like, well, me, basically.
Right. We're all the same.
All of the same.
Right.
Now, you die.
Okay.
Or God descends and he stands in front of you,
okay,
behind his bench, okay, and he is going to render a verdict on the life of Demarié.
Yes, sir.
His standard, perfect holiness,
okay,
righteousness,
right,
justice, everything that is right and good, he right is for. Everything that is not, he hates.
Okay.
As a just judge,
right,
if he opened up the books on your life, right, knew every thought, every word, every deed.
I'm dying. Yeah, he would not be pleased with my life.
Right.
Right.
Would God sentence you to heaven or to hell?
To heaven, because he's a God of forgiveness.
Why would he do that? Because here, here's the problem, I think, with that statement.
Okay. Yep.
Imagine an earthly court.
Okay.
It's obvious. This guy is just plain guilty.
Right.
But the judge says, I'm forgiving,
right,
so I'm going to let you go.
Right.
Uh-oh, that judge is complicit in the crimes committed by the criminal.
Right, right.
So how can God
mm-hmm
be just and forgiving at the same time? There's a tension there.
There is. There definitely is a discrepancy there.
But it's resolvable. God is just. He must punish lawbreakers,
yeah,
but he's rich in mercy.
Okay.
So how can he satisfy justice and forgive you?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to answer that. Do you have an answer for that?
Yes, sir.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down, you just can't put it into words. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus, with new episodes dropping every week.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. A lot of us got handed a choice we never agreed to. Faith on one side, reason on the other. So when talk turns to fossils or the age of the universe, you kind of feel that knot. You know, you believe God's word, you just can't explain why. That's exactly what In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle is for. He's a PhD astrophysicist who takes the hardest questions in science and makes them clear and biblical. New episodes of In the Beginning heard every Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence. Or on the Fortis Plus app at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We've brought together a team of fellows, people like Tim Challies, Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. Greg Gifford, Pastor Brad Bigney, Todd Friel, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Clausen, Dr. Adam Tyson, and they're all committed to teaching the word without apology. And the reason that we've been able to bring voices like this together in one place is because of our gospel partners. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Most of us haven't really thought about persecution. Not the real kind. Not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource Persecution is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus.
Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's called the gospel.
Okay.
You've heard this.
Okay.
Jesus Christ is God.
Okay.
He's, remember, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Trinitarian, three persons, one God. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity,
okay,
took on a human body just like yours.
Okay.
He didn't break the laws. He kept them all. Always honored his parents. Always was loving. Never had a lustful thought. Always did everything righteously.
Okay.
And our response when he came to this earth was to strip him and beat him and smash a crown of thorns on his head,
right,
and nail him to a cross.
Right.
That was a judicial transaction that was taking place.
Okay.
This is the Bible's very courtroom language.
Okay.
Jesus Christ knows you're a guilty criminal.
Okay.
But he loves you.
Okay.
And he's rich in mercy. But he's got to punish you, because
right,
if he doesn't, then he's not just. And that would violate his very character.
If he did not punish us, right?
So he took on your form.
Right.
Lived the life that you haven't lived.
Right.
Died the death that you are owed.
Right.
On your behalf.
Right.
So that you, while you stand in the courtroom of God's justice, before God slams down his gavel and says, guilty as charged, Jesus charges in and says, stop, Father. I love Demarie.
Right.
And I'll take the wrath that he deserves on myself.
And that's what happened when God took the form of Jesus' body and came to earth, right?
That's it.
Okay.
And that way, justice, he can rightly forgive you because your crime has been paid. Your fine has been taken care of.
By Jesus. Back
by
when,
Jesus.
Right. Okay.
Okay. It gets even better.
Okay.
Remember Jesus fulfilling all righteousness, doing everything right and perfect?
Yes, sir.
He takes all of that goodness and he says, yours.
Okay.
And he credits it to your account.
Okay.
So you can be seen not just as a forgiven criminal,
mm-hmm,
but you can be the righteousness of God, not seen as a shameful criminal who is everybody in the neighborhood knows, but as citizen of the millennial.
Okay.
You are perfect in the eyes of God because you're in Jesus and he sees his son as Jesus.
Okay.
And you get all of that credited to your account. That is what God has done to save you and to rescue you.
Right, so that goes back to the question you asked me earlier, where we found the discrepancy, is that basically there's a credit on our account from when Jesus came and basically usurped all of our sins so that we can live the life that we live today.
That's it. That's what Christianity is all about.
Gotcha.
All right, but now let's go back and rewind just a little bit to Mario.
Okay.
And I want you to just think this through for a moment.
Okay.
God created the universe,
mm-hmm,
for one reason.
Okay.
To send his son to die for sinners.
Right.
That's why all of this is going on.
Okay.
He's got one purpose in mind.
Okay.
He wants to be seen as a God who should punish sinners,
mm-hmm,
but who saves rebels and
right,
restores rebels to a right relationship. And then he serves us a banquet because he's a God who serves the servants.
Okay.
The king takes care of the peasants. The just judge forgives and loves the rebels.
Right.
It's an amazing story. And before eternity began, God determined to do that very thing.
Right.
Created an entire universe to accomplish that plan, to have Jesus Christ born at just the right time 2,000 years ago, to live a perfect life, to be crucified by men as part of his pre-arranged plan. He orchestrated all of that so that the world could be forgiven. Now, why do you suppose God, having gone to those lengths, would say, but it's okay if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu, when he has gone to those lengths to secure salvation,
mm-hmm,
and he made that claim that we've talked about twice now, that he is the way, he is the truth, he
right,
is the life, why would he just say, whatever?
I believe all Christians should definitely understand what you have just explained to me. But I don't think, maybe he hasn't had the reach to those different religions. I don't know how.
That's a fair thought.
We are, as Christians, are supposed to try to spread his gospel and make him known and all that type of stuff. But maybe we as Christians have failed him, you know, and not made it as renowned around the world, his religion as it should be, or our religion as it should be. But I just don't think that those other religions have the same train of thought that we do when it comes to why the earth was made.
Yeah.
And the logistics of the earth and the punishment and who is supposed to take on that sin, you know?
Now, let's say a Buddhist dies, mm-hmm. and he stands before the just judge, and his books are opened, and mm-hmm. a Buddhist is just like you and me, a really bad sinner. Won't God say to the Buddhist, your sins aren't forgiven, I can't give you eternal life?
I believe that's how it goes. If that was a leading question, then yes, that's how it goes. It's a two-way street for them. If you live the right life, you maybe go to heaven, I don't know what they call it, or you would go to hell, you know? So I think if Jesus hadn't have come and paid for our sins 2,000 years ago, we would face the same judgment as those other religions. Right. But because our religion is so different, we can live the life we live and know that God loves us. He's a forgiving God. But that was all done, and that's made possible through the fact that Jesus has already come and paid for our sins for us.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask one more question.
Yes, sure.
If forgiveness is available because of what Jesus did,
okay,
what must a man or woman do to receive that forgiveness, to have their sins washed away mm-hmm. and the righteousness of Jesus credited to their account according to the Bible?
Okay.
There are two words that the Bible uses. What must you do to be saved? Do you know what the Bible says about that?
I do not. No, sir.
First word begins with R. It means repent.
And the second word begins with what?
Well, either T or F, to have faith or trust Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So to turn from your sins, not right. to become perfect, but to say, you know what, I don't want that lifestyle anymore.
Right.
My God died for me.
Right.
I want him.
Right.
I don't want the pigsty anymore. I want
right.
the Savior.
Right.
You turn from your sins with a contrite heart.
Right.
You confess your sins to God.
Right.
Tell him you're sorry.
Right.
And you put your trust in his Son and his Son alone. And he promises that he will adopt you into his family. He will
right.
make you his child, and he will save you to the uttermost.
Yes, sir.
You must repent, and you must believe in Jesus Christ as if your eternity depended on it.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Demarie.
Yes, sir.
Have you done that?
I have not done that further than being baptized as a young child. And every so now and then, I feel like I do. It's when I know I've done something wrong. So I'm not consistently repenting and conveying my trust to Jesus as I should, because I owe him a lot more than he owes me.
All right, let me clarify this, because I want to make sure that we're on the same page with this. Jesus mm-hmm. said to a man named Nicodemus that unless a man is born again, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Have you heard the term born again?
I have. I'm not 100% sure what it means, but I've heard.
Nicodemus didn't know either.
Right.
All right. If you're going to be born again, you have to die.
Right.
Right. God doesn't want you to end your life.
Okay.
God wants you to be crushed under the weight of the law.
Okay.
To feel your complete, abstract hopelessness because of the wicked things that you and I have done.
Okay.
That we feel like we are undone. We are deserving of nothing but wrath, completely humbled before God. That's what it means to die to self, to
okay.
let the laws of God, I was going after your conscience, remember?
Right.
Let the laws of God just feel the burden
right.
of a perfect thought life,
okay.
perfect love, perfect obedience.
Okay.
Man, it's like the national debt. It's just ripping up there into the trillions.
Right, right.
I'm undone. I don't want any more of me. And God says when you reach that state and you call out to him for mercy, that's when he saves you. He makes you born again.
Okay.
Has that experience happened to you, where you have come to the end of yourself?
You knew you were
a hellbound sinner and you put your trust in Jesus.
It was going good until you said, "If put my full trust in Jesus." I did reach a point about last year where I wanted to go down a different path. I think about this from time to time, that the only thing holding me back at this point is that I haven't put my full trust in Jesus at this point. But I do have the corrective thought process. I have repented. I know everything, all my shortcomings. Not all of them, but I'm aware of the shortcomings that I did want to correct and everything. But I have not put my full trust in Jesus Christ yet. I do need to catch this bus right here.
You know what? It was a real joy.
Yeah, Demarie,
thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, take that with. That's us.
Okay.
Scoot.
Thank you so much.
Hey.
You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you very much. You're saying Friel. You didn't get that guy saved. I say you're right, because I can't. Nor can you. But God can. He's heard the truth. He's heard the law. He's heard the gospel. He's heard repentance. He's heard faith. I wanted to share with him a little something about justification and sanctification, but God determined that was enough. How do I know? Because that was enough. God wanted him to hear more. That bus wouldn't have shown up. Complete stranger, sitting on a bench. How do you do? Pleasant, nice conversation. You can do this. Maybe you're not ready for this moment yet, but work toward this. It doesn't need to be a nasty scene. It doesn't need to be Armageddon with your neighbor. Love them. See them as lost. Not trying to win an argument, but I want these people to know so that they can be saved. Let that fill your heart because you appreciate how much you have been saved. And God will grow you in that direction until you lovingly do what you've been commanded to do. Go and make disciples.
Until next time, go serve your King.